So, in the last few chapters, we got quite technical on the very important story of the division of the land of Israel to all the tribes. A lot of names of cities, etc. Now that the division is over, the Jewish people are settled in their land. It took 7 years of war and then 7 years of dividing the land and splitting it. It's about 14 years until the Jewish people are finally in their land. They entered the land of Israel in the year 2488 of creation. So that would mean that this is about the year 2502, about 2500. Now, Yoshua, who was in charge with implementing Hashem's promise to his people, ends his career by filling that charge. He conquered the kings of Canaan, gave the inheritance to the tribes, allocated cities, designated cities for the Levites. Now the time had come to release the vanguard of Israel's army, of the Jews from the 2.5 tribes that were on the east of the Jordan. Just a recap. Moshe made a deal in Moshe's days that for those 2.5 tribes who wanted to stay east of the Jordan and not in the land of Israel proper, their wives and children can settle there, but they, the men, must go and wage war together with their brethren and go first in war. And only after they managed to conquer the land and the Jews settled, then they could go back. These Jews had spent long years waging war together with Yeshua and Israel, while their families and possessions remained far away. After commending these soldiers, Yeshua instructs them not to forget the legacy of Moshe and blesses them before they return to the families. He then sends them back. Now, obviously, these fellows lived far from the major Jewish community, so Yeshua feels the need to give them extra encouragement. On the way home, the members of these tribes construct a large altar. As we'll see, this arouses the suspicion of the Israelites living on the western side that their brethren may be initiating new religious rituals and abandoning the worship of Hashem. The conclusion of this section deals with the people's awareness and reaction to the possible threat of split amongst them. When the western tribes send dignified emissaries to inquire about the construction of the altar, the 2.5 tribes explain and respond by clarifying their positive intentions. Unfortunately, later on in history, it didn't work that way. In other words, as we'll see in the book of Judges that we're starting in the coming days, Jews talking to each other was not always the outcome. So, goes like this. This is the end, the last few verses of chapter 21, and then moves on to chapter 22. Hashem gave Israel all the land about which he took an oath to give to their forefathers. They took possession of it. He gave them peace all around, just like he committed in the oath he gave the forefathers 500 years prior already in Avram. There was no man from their enemies who stood against them, as Hashem delivered the enemies into their hand. Nothing of all the good things that the Lord spoke to the house of Israel was lacking. Everything came about. And then Yeshua summons the Reubenite, Gadite, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and says to them, "You have done well. You've kept everything that Moshe, the servant of the Lord, had commanded you. Moreover, you heeded my voice, not only Moshe's voice, you listened to me and obeyed me in everything that I commanded you. You did not forsake your brethren these many days to this day, and you kept the commission of the commandment of Hashem, your God, and as you were fully devoted to your army service. Now, Hashem has given you respite. You could go rest. He's given respite to your brethren as he has spoken to them. Now you turn and go to your tents, to the land of your holdings, which Moshe gave you beyond the Jordan. You're done." Before they left, Yeshua commands them, "Only take care," he says, "please take care, to perform the commandments and the Torah which Moshe, the servant of Hashem, commands you. Le'ahava es Hashem alekechem, to love God your God, le'leches b'chol drachav, These are words similar to the Chumash. Go in all his ways, lishmor mitzvotav, follow his mitzvahs, l'davkaba, and cleave to Hashem. Ula avda b'chal levav b'chal nashkem, and serve him with all your hearts and all your souls. Although you will live elsewhere, you must continue to observe Torah and mitzvahs. Basically, this is the first Jewish community that kind of semi-lived in the diaspora. Your departure of the land of Israel does not mean you're no longer part. So what's fascinating is even when we settled in Israel, there was already a constituency outside the biblical Israel. When Mashiach comes, that part will become Israel, but at the stage, that wasn't. To the half a tribe of Manasseh, Moshe had given territory in Bashan, and half of the other half of the tribe, Yeshua gave territory in Israel proper. So when Yeshua sent them, the half of tribe of Manasseh to Bashan, he blessed them. He said to them specifically, return to your tents with much wealth. Other opinions, by the way, say he said this to all the two tribes, whichever way. Return to your tents with much wealth, with livestock, silver, gold, bronze, iron, and many garments. Divide the spoils of your enemies with your brethren who could not make it. Basically, this policy, in times of war, the policy was the winning soldiers would plunder the conquered area and take for themselves as much cattle and possessions they could manage. Yeshua emphasized that the spoils of war were not private matter for the soldiers alone, rather they must share it with their brethren who remained east of the Jordan to guard the cities. We already see that Avram Avinu had this policy that the people who stay back in the home country, you know, keeping the economy and keeping the community safe, also get equal divide of the spoils. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh returned and went from the children of Israel who were living at Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan, where the temple was, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their holdings. They came to the region of the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, and the children of Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh built an altar, a great altar for display. Now the children of Israel heard, saying, behold, this is what they heard. Look what the two and a half tribes did. The entire children of Israel heard, and the entire congregation assembled at Shiloh to go up against them to war. They saw this a symbol of succession. They were concerned that the tribes who settled east of the Jordan were planning to build themselves a separate temple. They felt responsible to Hashem and to their brethren, and therefore they must correct this error. To this end, they were even ready to wage civil war against the same warriors who had shown such bravery just literally a few months prior. But first, they sent Pinchas the high priest. Although Elazar himself, Pinchas the son of Elazar the high priest, although the high priest Elazar was apparently alive, Pinchas, who was no longer a young man himself, was chosen to head the delegation. This is the same Pinchas that saved the Jewish people when he stood up in that story in the Parsha of Pinchas in the Chumash. He went with 10 princes with him, one prince for each home, for each of the tribes of Israel. Each of them was the head of his own Shevet tribe among the thousands of Israel. Since this was considered a matter involved all Israel, a large delegation was sent, which included the son of the Kohen Gadol, as well as 10 princes. Now, just for the sake of building suspense, we'll leave the story here, and we'll continue tomorrow.